We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Oh, man. These are very, very trying times. And that's the best we can say at this time. There's a live news conference going on in Dayton, Ohio right now. And I'm watching the police chief talk about the mass shooting there in the Oregon district. And police took out a mass shooter in 32 seconds. Wow. For all of you heroes out there who have guns and you're ready to take someone out to shopping mall, 32 seconds. Police, trained police, and they showed the video. He'd already killed, as you know by now, nine people in 32 seconds. I find it so courageous. And the video shows the officers running to the fire, not away, as you would be with your handgun. Just saying. I want to introduce Ron Layton, an old friend, one of the smartest men I've ever known. Worked for four presidents, has two PhDs, has a tremendous background in security. As we listen to this, and I got you here on something else, Ron, but it is amazing that police in Dayton could react in 32 seconds. Is it not, sir?
Marty, thanks for having me back on KDKA. You know, one of the things, so you talk about where we are as a culture, number one, that particular Dayton event is probably going to be the gold standard in enforcement. In other words, not only were the cops right there, the cops were right there, took decisive action, and were able to neutralize this particular subject, but what you're starting to hear is that when these shootings occur, all of a sudden the new language that we have is that it could have been much worse.
And so, you've heard so that spot
on a number of occasions. So now all of a sudden, that's why our cultural anxiety is so high. Yes. I would rate it at about a 7 or an 8 out of 10. But when you start to couch your language, when you're looking at a narrative and a tragedy, from the perspective that it could have been much worse, then that is telling as well.
And so, and also to hopscotch, my God, over to this canceling of this event at the church. So you can kind of see the mindset. So they're thinking threat, mass shootings in two places in America in the last week, eliminate the threat by shutting the event down. You could kind of see how that could happen all over the country. Could you not, sir?
You could, and it's very troubling. I mean, from an administrator standpoint, the administrator is simply going to say, look, I'm responsible for this. I want to err on the side of caution. And until we get a handle on this, then we're going to, out of an abundance of caution, we're going to shut it down. Personally, I think it's probably, and I don't want to couch this into right or wrong.
No.
But I don't think that it's where we should be.
Where should we be, sir?
So here's the plan, I think. You know, number one, Marty, the new language for this, at least in the government, and the Department of Homeland Security struggled with this for some time, but it's called soft target crowded places, which simply means all of these places that we're talking about, whether it's the garden, the garlic festival, or the incident in Dayton, in Dayton, these are all soft targets, and they're very difficult to deal with because they're usually not secured. But you know, number one, this plan has to start with enforcement. So for the local matter in Pittsburgh, you've got to get to the originator of this particular correspondence. I suspect that's why the postal inspectors are involved. Law enforcement is very good, much better than we've ever been at getting to the origin, whether it's an anonymous letter or whether it's an email communication. Number two, Marty, there's got to be domestic terrorism legislation statute that's passed.
In other words, hold on. Let me jump in here because, man, were you spot on. So you talk on our show last week, bam, bam, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, L.A. Times, a few days later, that unless we change the laws, we're kind of handcuffed. But thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there is no – so Pennsylvania, for example, is a good case study. There is a law, there's a statute that basically says terroristic threats and the elements of the crime.
Yep.
There's no federal version of that. Most of these things are firearms violations or weapons violations. But there has to be a way that you can knock on the door. And again, the federal response is not everything, because the local cops are going to know their bad guys and going to know these folks better than the feds do. But there's got to be that hammer to knock on the door and say, pardon me, you're under arrest. And that's not always the case in some of the, you know, in every jurisdiction. So the laws have to change. But I got to tell you, I think we're closer to that than at any time in our history. Number two, I think, in this plan is just, I call it the show must go on.
Yes.
When you've got events like this, particularly at the church, and there's good indication to believe that, number one, law enforcement knows who it is, knows the origin, there's probably no reason that this particular event shouldn't continue. It sends the wrong message, and in terms of just whether there's a danger to anybody going to this event, probably not. And number three, Marty, lastly, what I would tell you is what's oftentimes left out of the conversation is that people do well when they've got their own personal plan. So there's got to be a personal plan that when you go anywhere, you mentioned earlier about, hey, this is the first time you've kind of been conscious about looking around maybe the parking lot, but those kinds of skill sets need to be taught to everyone. I just call it a learn the exit strategy. And it simply means that when you're out, you just take note of where the exits are. It's not fancy, but I got to tell you, fancy does not work in a crisis. So it's really those three things that I think we should be engaged in.
You know, we've had this discourse. I've had this discourse a lot. I just talked to a police chief who said in his entire career, a threat was never carried out. However, I got to say this. If we use recent history, these threats are carried out. They file these manifestos, whether it's an hour or 30 minutes before they kill everybody. So now the old rules may not hold, right, man? They'll carry out these threats.
So that's one of the reasons why I think, you know, I mentioned earlier that cultural anxiety is about a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's why you get people running down the street in New York City because car backfires. Because, Marty, the paradigm is changing. So most of these mass shootings are, if you look at the data, they're with handguns. Although you see the last recent spate with high-powered rifles, and you see the death toll go up significantly, that is a significant change in the way that these things are executed. And, you know, people are on edge, but justifiably so. So the old way of doing business 20 years ago, we may be in the middle of a trajectory change.
Hey, Ron, I have another five-minute window at 3:50. It's 3:45. Can you call us back in 5 minutes, sir?
Sure can.
Thanks, my man.
Sure thing.
He's too important to have him on hold for 5 minutes. If it was anyone else, I'd say, can you hold for 5 minutes? But he's a big, big, big shot. I could write a book on his stories of what's happened when he was with the Secret Service protecting four different presidents. It's a hell of an amazing life story. But he'll be back in 5 minutes. It's information you need to know. Ron Layton is a close friend, and that's great. But on top of that, he's a brilliant strategist about defending our country. He defended four presidents in the Secret Service. He wrote a paper years ago, man, that talked about the radicalization of terrorists through social media. And here we have 8 terror attacks associated with homegrown terrorists, white nationalists, as if he was predicting the future. And then it all turns up in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times this week. So I wanted to bring him in today to discuss this. Might be a little church festival, but it's a big issue. Ron, I'll tell you how the dynamic has changed, and you discussed this in the last break, is that, so back in the day, so I'm doing an event, Italian Festival in Bloomfield, Liberty Avenue, thousands of people this weekend, it's fabulous. Back in the day, you would have Joe Schmo Cop on the corner working a little overtime, and that would be it. Now, my man, you got to go into this thinking strategy, do you not? Every single event, you have to have a strategy.
So you need a strategy, and unfortunately, I think any police department, and Scott Schubert does a great job, yep, in Pittsburgh, but any police department would be negligent if you did not have some type of an emergency action plan governing all major events. It's the new way to do business. And the truth is, Marty, it's really not that new. I mean, we've shifted probably pretty, we've pivoted pretty well since 9/11 and gone more to a prevention / response orientation.
And as citizens, do we stay at home and cower, man, or do we head out to these two radical plans, stay at home and cower, or go to an event with a pistol in our pants that we haven't shot in 25 years?
Well, you can't stay at home. you can't. And one of the other things that's changed is that we there's this feeling that a lot of the radicalized persons come from outside of the country. And what have we seen here in the last, you know, in the last 5 years? We've seen evidence of homegrown violent extremism, meaning, you know, there's some person born in this country that for whatever reason doesn't like a group of folks that are also American citizens. I think the other issue is this. It's interesting to watch a movie where you see James Bond shoot somebody when he's rolling down the street in a BMW.
Yeah.
And people have the feeling that all of a sudden, if I go and put that gun on my hip, there's a feeling of comfort. But I got to tell you something, it hasn't happened yet. but when you get a bunch of people running because a car backfires, it is within the realm of possibility that someone is going to pull a gun out and they're probably going to be dropped by a uniformed officer or someone else.
Thank you. Because if they're doing it in Dayton in 32 seconds, brother, it's going to come up again somewhere in America very soon.
It is. And what ends up happening is people will look to a gun for comfort. And, hey, look, if you're a trained person, I got no problem with that. But what ends up happening is that we have people who are untrained that think that you can actually pull this stuff off. I will tell you, it is unnatural to run towards gunfire. And the heroes in Dayton are second to none.
Beautiful to watch. Ron Layton, you're the best. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Marty.
See you, man. You're the best.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.